Praise the Lord. I believe we are all close to the Lord and feel that this is already a foretaste of heavenly glory. We have understood what it is all about and recognize what God is doing in this time by His grace, whether it is a song, a word that is read, or the prayers, everything speaks from the heart. We could sing along with everyone, pray along with everyone, because we have become one in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are all overwhelmed by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Over the last 14 days, I have had to think repeatedly about how to find, seek, and experience the connection with God's work at this time. And a word of God that has been in the Bible for almost 2,000 years is suddenly illuminated. Suddenly, a chapter or a passage has meaning for us as never before. Why? Why? Because the time of fulfillment has come. The word in the prophet Joel had been written for a long time, but suddenly it had meaning. The day had come, the fulfillment had come, and so it was and is with all prophecies. It had been written long enough where the Messiah was to be born. Suddenly, Bethlehem had meaning. The scripture is fulfilled again before our eyes. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when it is in accordance with the Word of God. And we believe this with all our hearts. Everything God does must be 100% in accordance with His Word. And we are so grateful that we can sing with the hymn writer, "No more my own way, no more my own will, you alone decide." A dear sister said to me earlier, "Brother Frank, I want to put everything in order. I don't want to have run in vain and then have to realize in the end that it was all for nothing. I want to put everything in order." May the Lord God give us all room for repentance, that all sighing may cease, that everything that does not please the Lord may cease. The singers have sung it to us. Soon the trumpet will sound. We have been waiting for it, and suddenly it will be there. The Lord will return to take His own home. Blessed are all who have not run in vain. Blessed are all people in whom Christ has taken shape, who have died with Him, who have been buried with Him, and risen with Him to a new life. Blessed are all who can say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." The eye of the pious is worse than of the unbelievers. They do not know it, and God cannot hold it against them. But God has led us into the depths so that we all go through a mill and nothing remains of us. And in the end, we are led to the Mount of Transfiguration after all the Valley of Tears And suddenly, we see no one but Jesus alone, He who loved us, who redeemed us, who will soon bring us home into His glory. It should overwhelm us. It should thrill us to know that this hour is very near. Somehow I think something should burst within us all, knowing that we will witness the hour and the day when the Lord returns to bring His own home. But first, we should be like Job, whom God lifted up from the dust and crowned with mercy and loving kindness. Each of us goes through trials of various kinds, and not one of us gets through life without having to endure trials. But one day we will be rewarded for this. And it was necessary for all of this to happen. In the opening word, we have heard it again. God will restore all things, and afterwards He will pour out His Spirit, and then we shall have plenty to eat and rejoice in the Lord our God, who proves Himself mighty to us. God proves Himself to those who trust Him with an undivided heart, who do not follow their own wisdom and do not rely on their own understanding, but on the Lord, who has called them and who guides them rightly for the sake of His holy name. We are so glad. I could hear the glorious songs day and night, and whoever wanted to speak here at the front could speak as long as he wanted, as long as he spoke of what God had done and what is written in the Word of God. Who would hold it against Paul if he spoke until midnight? It was not always a service with a clock. There were also services without the clock, services with God, in which people were seized and did not leave until they had experienced God. And I am convinced that the Lord is in the process of detaching us from ourselves, from all traditions and customs, in order to reveal His power and glory. It is, thus saith the Lord, it is God's eternal word. And I say again, a word is in Scripture for centuries, millennia, and suddenly it has meaning for us. And how does that happen? The Spirit has revealed it. Suddenly the Urim and Tumim lit up, so that all who belong to Him may be enlightened. Today we could list scripture after scripture that has suddenly taken on meaning. And why? Because the time of fulfillment has come, and because it has pleased the Lord to open our understanding of scripture and to speak to us about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And He says, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The others remain with the parables, and they interpret the parables as they wish, sometimes one way and sometimes another, and they don't get the meaning unless the Lord reveals it to them. And for the most part, the human spirit contradicts the Spirit of God, and people become entangled in their own confusion. But the Spirit of God leads us out into the glorious liberty of the children of God, and He lets us know what is prepared for us by grace. We are so happy. I would like to sing a few choruses. Lord, in this time when hell is raging and sin sets traps for me, Keep me under the blood. Let me be a light in the world. I pray for a new experience with you. O Lord, through you alone, I will be a victor. Give me your strength. Reveal yourself to me anew. Veil me into your grace. Lord, you saw how unfaithful I sometimes was. I now stand before you, deeply ashamed. Lord, I offer my life to you anew. I see all my failures. I pray for a new experience with you, O Lord. Only through you will I be a victor. Give me your power. Reveal yourself to me anew. Veil me into your grace. Lead me back to my first love, O Lord. Give me a broken heart. Tear my mind away from all earthly things. Lead me on the way to heaven. I pray for a new experience with you, O Lord. Only through you will I be a victor. And give me your strength. Reveal yourself to me anew. Veil me into your grace. I pray for a new experience with you, O Lord. Only through you will I be a victor. And give me your strength. Reveal yourself to me anew. Veil me into your grace. Praise the Lord. We are so glad that God has everything in His hands. We are safe in Him. My thoughts went back to the word from Ephesians 1, which we considered here recently, and the thought expressed in it is that the Lord will show His power to us in the same way that He showed it to Jesus Christ when He was raised from the dead. And with that, we are actually back to our topic, to what God has planned to do among His people in the last days. When it's written here in Ephesians 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The same power that God demonstrated in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead, God wants to demonstrate in his own in these last days. And there is no way around it. Paul writes to the Romans, if the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And it is a wonderful thing to know that it is not our efforts, but the Spirit of God who creates life, who transforms everything, and who proves himself mighty in the believers in this age. The same power and glory that God demonstrated in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and triumphed over all the power of hell, over death, over Satan, the same power God will demonstrate in the believers. And that is something truly wonderful. That brings us back to this rest in God, that we cease all our own efforts and wait for what God will do by grace. We heard recently in Brother Branham's sermon that the Lord Jesus walked this earth in his prophetic ministry as the Son of Man, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. As Moses prophesied, a prophet like unto me God will raise up unto you, and whosoever will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. We know that since Pentecost, the Lord Jesus has no longer been addressed as the Son of Man, but as the Son of God. When we read the four Gospels, Jesus Christ is described to us from his birth to his ascension, namely as the Son of Man on earth, walking in lowliness and fulfilling the scriptures through him. Then, since Pentecost, he reveals himself in the power of the Holy Spirit as the Son of God, walking among the seven golden candlesticks. And suddenly, Brother Branham comes up with a thought of the word from Luke 17, where it is written, in the time when the Son of Man is revealed, after almost 2,000 years, when there was no longer any mention of Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, but only of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we find the promise and the prophecy, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Read Luke 17 for yourself. It does not say when the Son of God is revealed, but when the Son of Man is revealed. Back then, at the first coming of Jesus Christ, all the prophecies that the prophets had foretold, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were fulfilled. It was basically a prophetic age, with one prophecy after another being fulfilled. And when we read the Gospels, they do not begin with their own story, but with Jesus Christ, with what happened through him. When we read Mark chapter 1, verse 1, here it says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The gospel of Jesus Christ had a prophetic foundation from the first day, and it has a prophetic foundation until the last day. Our own thoughts do not apply in the kingdom of God. The gospel began with Jesus Christ, as it was written by the prophets, and it ends according to the prophetic word. In between lie almost 2,000 years of churches which had time to serve the Lord according to the time in which they lived, as God was gracious to them, walking in the light they had. But in the evening it should become light. Why? So that we may recognize that it is written of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the last church age message at Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door." He was no longer inside, he was outside and stood at the door, outside, to be revealed as the Son of Man through a prophetic ministry, so that all who believe in him might be justified by God in this time. We cannot go into all of this doctrinally, but we do know that Jesus Christ always spoke of himself as the Son of Man. I mentioned it recently, but in the Gospel of Matthew alone, the term Son of Man appears 26 times to describe Jesus Christ. And he said at that time, "Then you will see the Son of Man ascending whence he came." And the Jews did not understand his speech, for they were waiting for the Son of David. But they were waiting too soon. He will be revealed as the Son of David when he begins his reign in the millennial kingdom. Then he will be the Son of David, and he will reign, and we will reign and rule with him. In his prophetic ministry, he was the Son of Man. During the nearly 2,000 years, he has been revealed as the Son of God in the church. Now, at the end of time, because we live in a prophetic age, and all the prophecies of Scripture concerning the return of Jesus Christ are being fulfilled, he has revealed himself as the Son of Man in a prophetic way to draw the attention of God's people to what is happening in this time. At that time, all the servants of God, whether they were the evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, continually they quoted the prophetic word, because in their time much of Bible prophecy had been fulfilled. How could we act differently in this time than to go back to the prophetic word? If I may, I would like to read just a few passages from the Gospel of Matthew. Already in chapter 1, in the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, verse 22 says, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying." And he continues in chapter 2, writing in verse 5, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Now in chapter 2, verse 14, "When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." In chapter 2, verse 17, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, what was it like in those early days of the New Testament church? All the servants of God who spoke or wrote were led by the Holy Spirit into the prophetic word, and they showed the children of God that the Holy Scriptures had been fulfilled before their very eyes. What did the Lord Jesus do? Did he justify himself? No, he went into the synagogue, took the book of the prophet Isaiah, read from chapter 61, and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But who understood it? When we stand here today and say, in our time the Holy Scriptures have been fulfilled, then it still does not mean anything to everyone. Some know what it is about, because God has pardoned them, because he has spoken to them, because he has revealed his word to them, because they have had an experience with God. Others hear it, but it means nothing to them. And yet they are believers and do not understand what the Lord wants to tell them. Those who are of God do not refer to what they themselves say, but to what the men of God have spoken, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If Mark was able to write at that time, the gospel of Jesus Christ began as it is written in the prophet Isaiah and in the prophet Malachi, then we can say with the same certainty in this day and age, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to an end as it is written in the prophet Malachi, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And Jesus said, after John's ministry was finished, Elijah truly must first come to restore all things. Of course, John was Elijah before the first coming of the Lord. We know this very well. He appeared in the spirit and power of Elijah. But at that time, the great and terrible day of the Lord had not yet come, and almost 2,000 years have passed, and the terrible day of the Lord has not yet come. We know the day of the Lord will burn like an oven, and the wicked will be like stubble, and the day of the Lord will burn them up. And the Lord says through the prophet, before this great and terrible day comes, I will send you the prophet Elijah to restore all things. Dear brothers and sisters, the gospel comes to its conclusion and its end as it is written in the prophets. No human being can change this, even if he wanted to. We are not so important that God would conform to us. No, he wants us to conform to him and accept what he has to say to us. What are people resisting in this day and age? They want to continue as they are until the return of Jesus Christ, as if there were not to be another prophetic word addressed to the church at the end of the church age. And this is where many believers fail in this day and age, who know God's word well, but do not realize that things do not always go the way we are used to, but that it must go the way God has ordained. At that time, John's appearance was a thorn in the side of all the scribes. They would have wished that this man had never been born, for he caused much unrest throughout the land. But what was it? He was a promised man, a man of whom God said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Many did not want him and did not listen to him. He was a thorn in their sight. But the Lord sent him ahead with a message to prepare their hearts. And suddenly he says, "He is among you who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John only prepared the way. He says, "I am not the light myself. I have come to bear witness to the light." A prophet is not the light itself. A prophet is not the Lord, nor the Son of Man himself. A prophet is a witness of the living God, to bear witness to the truth. And God's word is the truth. And that is why all prophets and all true servants of God have borne witness to the truth. And the Lord Jesus turns to the scribes and says, "You do not listen to me because you are not of the truth." And already they were angry again. They did not want to hear. They could not hear. But they were angry when the Lord nevertheless told them to their faces how things stood with them. We are living at the end of the Laodicean church age. Jesus Christ is at the door. He is knocking. He has revealed himself. He has sent his servant and prophet according to his word to draw the attention of God's people to what is to happen in this time according to the word of the Lord. And I hope that we do not miss out on God's work. We can look back at church history. Not everyone connected with the first revival during the Reformation, when a new beginning was made through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Not everyone found this connection. But God had people who understood and comprehended what was happening at that time. When this revival was over, God sent a deeper, more thorough revival. But not all who had been part of the first revival were therefore part of the next revival. They were satisfied with what God had done for them, and they thought they had received everything, then remained spiritually stagnant without realizing that God moves on with his people. And so revival after revival has come right up to our times. And I tell you, by the grace of our God, I have heard of every revival I have ever heard of, and I have heard of everyone God has used. And I knew that where God is at work, I want to be there. I want to witness what the Lord does by grace. That is why it is so necessary that we do not miss out on God's work in these critical moments of human history. For it could happen to us. Perhaps one or the other might say, "I am right with God." Who tells you that you are right with God? You are only right with God if you fit into what God has to say to his people at this time. Of course, it is very easy to say, "I am right with God," and take pleasure in one's own self-righteousness without having any proof that God is with us at all. We know that even 50 or 20 or 30 years ago, there were always new revivals, and we are very grateful to God for that. But a revival 30 years ago does not help me at all today. I must now connect with God's work and be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to reach the goal and not stand still. Many came out of Sodom and then looked back. There is no more looking back. We have put our hand to the plow and we no longer look back. Otherwise, we would not be fit for the kingdom of God. Finally, when the church age comes to an end, God wants to show His power and glory on earth once again, as He did in Jesus Christ, in order to fulfill His word. And it is written, "The works that I have done, ye shall do also." There are many promises in the Old and New Testament, and they must all be fulfilled. God will work in us with the same power as He worked in Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead. We can imagine that Satan would have liked to keep Him in hell. He had no right to Him. The Lord Jesus did not go down to negotiate with the devil. No, He went down to proclaim the glorious victory of Calvary to those who were waiting for Him, to lead the captives away. And according to Matthew 27, many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised with Christ. One thing is certain, Satan may tempt us, he may set traps for us, he may do many things, but he has no claim on us. Jesus Christ says in John 17, "Ye are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." And the world loves its own, and therefore it does not love you, because ye are not of this world. We are born from above. Therefore, we like to go home. We want to go home. We want to see Jesus, the one who loved us, who redeemed us, who has worked so powerfully in our lives by His grace and His power. The gospel will come to an end, as it is written in the Word of God. Not as an evangelist or preacher would like it to be, or as a church imagines it to be, but as God has said in His word, so shall the finishing be. And we have considered this morning. In the New Testament, the Lord gives us the example from the Old Testament with His servant Job, and He tells us, "Look at Job and what an outcome God has created for him." From this, we can already imagine in what way the power of our God will be revealed among His own. It will not be just a meager restitution. Only humans measure, and as little as possible. When you see somewhere how things are weighed up, then it is better to have too little than too much. But God will give a full measure, a restitution such as Job received at that time. Who can change that? Tell me, do you even understand what this is all about? Have we all understood what God has in mind for His people at this time? Do we come together for a service just to hear a sermon? Or do we come together so that the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts through the Word of our God and reveal to us the will of God and show us what the Lord has prepared for us? Preaching is done everywhere, but Paul writes, "The gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ it was given to me." Today, much of the gospel is preached throughout the land in a human way. A gospel preached in a human way has never helped anyone. On the contrary, it has become harmful to them. They have fallen prey to pious deception, lulled into a false sense of security. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ, the full holy gospel, can help people in this time to obtain total deliverance by the grace of God. That is all we need. Everything else that people serve up to us will pass away. And soon. But what God has said in His Word. And then Paul continues, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. And we cannot produce this power ourselves. This power must come down from God to fill us all. And no human being needs to help with that. But we also do not need anyone to put on the brakes. We want everyone to be carried away by the Holy Spirit and for God to reveal Himself to them as it has always been. In a prophetic age, people always had to be careful not to sin against God and to find the right connection to God's work. In the days of Moses, the Israelites did not need to think twice. The prophet came and said, God has heard your cries. The hour of your deliverance has come. Get ready. And off they went. What do we still want to think over? The hour of God's visitation has come upon us. Time will not be much longer. And the Lord Jesus will fulfill what He has said. I am so glad that the gospel had no human beginning and will have no human end. But it has a divine beginning and will have a divine end. In the beginning was the fulfillment of Scripture, and in the end is fulfillment of Scripture. In the beginning, Jesus Christ was revealed as the Son of Man, and in the end He was revealed in the same way. One must see this. One must grasp this in faith. And I hope that everyone here present can grasp what this is all about through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. No one can tell another what it is. It must be revealed to each individual by God. And the Lord Jesus said, no brother will teach another, but they will all be taught by God. How wonderful it is to be taught by God in this time. We do not sit at the feet of a Gamaliel who turns Saul into a religious fanatic. We sit at the feet of Jesus who has transformed us and revealed a new life in us. But since when? Saul raged until he encountered the pillar of fire, the bright light from heaven, and the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. A man who only wanted to do good, namely to eradicate this sect, so that his faith would remain intact. That Jewish faith, the Orthodox faith, what he was doing was right. In his eyes, yes. But in God's eyes, something new had long since begun, and he did not see it. He remained in the old ways and measured things by old standards. Oh, how many believers have remained behind in the churches, measuring things by their own standards, without realizing that God has long since done something new. All the ranting and raving is useless. God cannot be stopped. He has people who do not rant and rave, but rejoice because they share in what He is doing. That is the wonderful thing. When the children cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, the blind Pharisees said, command them to be silent. The Lord said, if these are silent, the stones will cry out. What was it? The Lord had prepared praise from the mouths of children and sucklings. No one needed to tell them, sing now. They did not need a choir director. They didn't need anything at all. Moved by the Holy Spirit, they sang, Hosanna to Him who comes in the name of the Lord. What do we need today? The same thing, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is given to each and every one of us. And then we sing with heavenly harmony, and we know what God has done. Why? It is a prophetic age, God's gracious visitation, a revelation of the deepest and final mysteries of God. All this is happening in our time, and blessed is he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And if anyone thinks we are fanatics, we are comfortable with that too. What is it? It does not matter how people judge us. When Paul spoke before Agrippa and Festus, he said, "Listen, thou art beside thyself." But he said, "I am not mad, but speak words of truth and soberness." And the same is true with us. We are carried away, that is true, we admit it, but we are not mad. We speak living words of the living God, which have become spirit and life to us. And whoever wants to sleep, let them stay at home. We cannot sleep here, for we have been awakened by the grace of our God, and rejoice in what the Lord is doing in this time. A prophetic age. Scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes, and we may see it and witness it. And the Lord is about to prove himself mighty, to bring about restoration in a mighty way, so that the same power that God revealed in Christ may now be revealed in believers. Yes, we can hardly imagine what this will mean for us. We can hardly imagine it now. Jesus rose from the dead in absolute triumph. Nothing could hold him back. Not Satan, not death, not the powers of darkness. Everything was defeated. God will bring about a mighty victory in his church. The beginning was according to the prophetic word, and the end is according to the prophetic word. Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And as he was in the beginning, so he is at the end. And he speaks to his own. And at the end he asks the question, "Have you understood what I have been saying to you?" And we may say, "Yes, Lord, we have understood." At the same time, I am aware that unless God truly grants a person grace, he will not know what is being spoken of. And we distinguish between all human programs that are adorned with Christianity and the fulfillment of God's prophecies in this time. And we say with Peter, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the word of prophecy that shines like a bright light in a dark place." And we are called upon in the New Testament by Peter that we should take heed unto the word of prophecy as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We do nothing more than that. We only pay attention to the bright shining light. It shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It does not see it. It does not want to see it. But those who walk in the light have recognized it. Their path is illuminated, and they rejoice in what God is doing now. Oh, that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit might so seize us all, that we might know what God is doing in this time. Brother Branham was only a man like all of us, but he was a chosen instrument in the hand of God. He could have had the choice to go with the largest churches in America and become a millionaire himself, because the masses were coming and the churches were growing larger and larger. Wherever he went, God revealed himself and everyone gathered there. But the Lord had laid it on his heart, as we read in Hebrews 13, to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ outside the camp with the people of God. As with Moses, Moses spurned the riches of Egypt and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For me, these are true servants of God, who do not run after Mammon, but bear the reproach of Jesus Christ and place the word revealed by God upon the lampstand. These are servants of God. What they speak, they have spoken on behalf of God. Moses had a divine commission. Who are we to rebel against it? The same applies to Brother Branham's ministry. Whoever can believe it, let him believe it. And whoever can grasp it, let him grasp it. Just as the Lord God sent a servant and prophet at the beginning of the new covenant to prepare the way, so the same God has again sent a servant and prophet in the same spirit and with the same power to prepare the way of the Lord, to make crooked things straight, to bring down the exalted, to lift up the lowly, so that the glory of God may be revealed. Whoever can believe this, give thanks to the living God and share in what God is doing at this time. We are so glad that we can live now when all things are coming to completion. It is not our program that is important, but what God has decided He is realizing in our time. As we have heard, if the vision tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. The last promises will soon be fulfilled, and Jesus Christ will stand glorified in the midst of His people, and suddenly the power of God will fill us. And then there will be the moment when we are taken up into heavenly glory. Are you not glad that God has been able to speak to a remnant of His people during this time? Blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see, and your heart, for it believes. Blessed are those who take God's words seriously and understand what is at stake. The Lord says, I will restore, and then you shall have plenty to eat, and rejoice and be glad, for I have done great things in your midst, and then my people shall no longer be put to shame. Just as Job had to persevere, so must we persevere. He could not look at his watch and say, Lord, it has been long enough, the times have passed. He was patient until God's hour had come, and then help was given to him. We do not tell the Lord when the time has come. He will tell us soon enough and will reveal Himself in His power and glory. We have need of patience to experience God's promises. Let us enter into God's rest and know that Jesus is never late. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come together before your holy face to offer you our heartfelt thanks for your grace, for your goodness, for your revealed word, for the words and works of your Holy Spirit in this time. O faithful God, may you soon reveal to us all the same power that you revealed in Jesus Christ. Let the bliss of your church be revealed and established, O God. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. O, we praise you, we worship you, we rejoice in you. Hallelujah. To your holy name. Amen.